You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Joining us right now, the president, the general manager of the New York Yankees, who's getting rave reviews for what happened over the last few days, and that is Brian Cashman. Brian, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes. Tiki, Evan, how are you today, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing? I'm a little tired, but I think as we all are. You guys tired covering, and we tired doing.
Here's the key question, because you're the one that could answer this. I've asked everybody. I've asked Yankee fans. I've given my opinion on it. Did you, Brian Cashman, go to town at the trade deadline?
I mean, we try to go to town every year. So, like, the town thing, I think, from what I was getting feedback after, like, hey, that's getting blown up. And I was like, well, going to town meant like, hey, if you need something, you're like, the analogy was like, you're at home and you got to go do some shopping, so you're going to go to town. So you got some things to pick up, so you're going to go to town. But it sounded like it played out like a promise that I'm going to go crazy or something. But I promise you this, we always try to do as much as we can, and you know, whether it's in the winter or the deadline in the summer and stuff, and just some you know, cycles you get a better shot at it than others, but we're always trying to go do a lot of stuff that can impact us. So hopefully we ran into some things this time around that'll benefit us.
And you know, so it's interesting, Brian, because you did get a lot of really good players, and we'll get to them in a second, but I wonder, did you miss out on anybody that you thought you wanted to go after and just couldn't? And starting pitching is something we talked about a lot yesterday. A lot of people have. It just wasn't a ton of them moved. Did you miss out on anything?
I mean, there's guys that we coveted without a doubt that, you know, we felt like would be very beneficial to us as well as others. And, you know, we were able to just, this is what we were able to secure. You know, everything we've got to talk about on the new player additions are what we have to show for those efforts. But there's a lot of things we couldn't match up on, a lot of things that weren't, you know, just wasn't available, you know. But, you know, we certainly had a lot of conversations throughout, you know, all of our counterparts in the National League and the American League, and whether they're contenders or sell, you know, buyers, sellers, it didn't matter. And just we tried to play every which way and make sure that, you know, every opportunity was, you know, pursued. And again, at the end of the day, when the dust settles, this is what we got to show for it.
When you went after relievers, was there kind of a premium in your mind on bringing in guys who you have control over past this season?
No, I mean, ultimately we were trying to improve on what we had. You know, I thought we had something that was really good, but you know, like the domino effect of injuries, and next you know, in the tight ball games we were playing, you know, the guys we had guys sitting on the IL like Cruz and Leiter, and the other guys were getting obviously used by necessity, you know, a little bit too much, and because of these tight ball games and how things are shaking out, and we just needed to address and improve and bring in some new blood to blend with it, and so you know, that was just an old overall goal. Obviously it's beneficial if you have control, but the whole effort was just to try to secure anything and everything that could, you know, that is better than what we in theory on paper already had.
Yeah, it seemed like though it was a trend across Major League Baseball, a lot of GMs going with the reliever category, and I wonder if a lot of that is because starting pitching is no longer getting 7-8 innings. Like you're constantly in your bullpen, even when you have good starting pitchers. So does that factor in to the massive reliever market that we saw this year?
I don't know. I do know that it's, you know, it's hard to get your hands on starters. Even I remember the one year that I had to go, you know, unfortunately, and go through the selling side of it. You know, the even as a seller, you've got to make sure you maintain and your innings and how you're going to manage your remaining innings going forward. So even though if you're on the seller side of it, so I remember I moved Nova to the Pirates back in the day, you know, as a final deadline before the clock. You know, we did a lot of trades and got a lot of prospects back. You know, I remember having to manage mentally the August and September. How are we going to, you know, make sure that we, you still have to play major league games in front of 40,000 people and come up with nine innings minimum per day and deal with that. And I think, you know, it's just hard to find starters nowadays, whether they're good ones or not good ones, to give you some length. And I think it's just representative of that more than anything else.
So what went into the decision to release Marcus Stroman today then?
Well, you know, he pitched yesterday, so he's down for the next 3 days. You know, we have Duvall, Bednarik, and Bird took the red eye from Denver, and they arrived today. So we've just got, you know, as we're counting, and then we hit Luis Hill coming on to start Sunday being activated. So if you start counting up your pitchers on your current roster, you've got to make room for the new ones being onboarded. And so, you know, ultimately, whether it was today or in a few days, you know, we were going to need that spot. And so the biggest, you know, thing that went into it with on Stroh's decision for today, as we, you know, were on a conference call earlier today, was that since he's unavailable to us over the next 3 days and we're going to need that spot here, you know, between, and then also we have Leiter coming back next week there, in theory, maybe that, you know, it makes more sense to keep, you know, we're trying to win right now, obviously. Sure. And so giving Aaron Boone as many fresh available arms today and then tomorrow and the next day where Stroh's not available to us, and if that spot was basically in jeopardy once we onboard all the new, you know, people coming back from the IL or the new traded acquisition players, then, you know, there's no reason to, you know, to wait.
I made an assumption, I think a lot of people did, and you have a chance to clarify and say it's totally not true, is that Marcus probably didn't want to go to the bullpen since of what we heard back in February. Was there ever a conversation about Marcus going to the bullpen?
No. I mean, because, again, as I said, you know, as we stand today with everybody being onboarded and the anticipation of Hill obviously coming off the IL to take the Sunday start, and with Leiter coming back early next week, if you start playing the body count game, we run out of bodies, and so then you start that's basically it. And so you start saying, you know, who's going to survive this? And we have, I think, based on the deadline, we have more quality, you know, in numbers than we had before. And you have to make tough decisions based on that.
Did you try to trade him
again? And he's not available for the next 3 days.
Gotcha. Did you try to trade him yesterday, especially knowing this scenario and the need for starting pitchers that we assume a lot of teams have? Was that on the table?
I wouldn't say. I just know that we just have to make tough decisions. You know, ultimately the effort from the deadline was to try to get, you know, better individuals, you know, in terms of onboarding than we currently have. And that's led us to make some tough decisions on optioning some people. So obviously we optioned Hamilton last night post game, and today we're having to release Stroh, and you know, obviously we got more tough decisions as this stuff plays out.
Yeah. You know, Brian, I'm wondering, and I'm thinking, we're thinking long-term. We're thinking what's happening for towards the end of the season and into the postseason. This is as it pertains to the starting pitching, but it sounds like you're making these moves for Aaron Boone for right now. And I wonder, with Luis Hill coming back and Cam Schlittler being young and only getting his fourth or so start.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
The season, where is your mindset on what's going to happen come postseason? Because that's naturally at the trade deadline where the fan or sports talk radio's mind goes to.
I'm not sure of the question. So ultimately, you know, I just want to give Booney and our staff and, you know, as many better options than we had before July 31st, whether that's rotation and the rotation in theory on paper gets better with Hill coming back. You know, it's, Warren's done a nice job. Slitler's done a nice job, even though it's a short window that he's operating in. And then, and ultimately with these reliever choices, just in terms of matchup, in terms of, this, Timmy Hill can't pitch every day. And if it's tight ball games and, obviously as it was before, Weaver and Williams can't be available every day as we, have those leverage innings from the 7th, 8th, and 9th as we try to navigate it, especially when we've been trying to do so without Cruz and Leiter, who were doing such a healthy, great job for us, prior to them going down. And so it's been a struggle here for us on a bullpen side for the last, 5-6 weeks, it feels like, because of the injuries. And, but I just, think we're in a better position now, so I'm thinking we have a sprint to try to take a shot at getting back competing for the American League East title that right now Toronto is leading. So we will, obviously goal one is to try to win the division, and then goal two is that if we can get ourselves in the postseason, however way it is, that have as many opportunities that we can choose from. That gives us the best chance to win, whether it's in a short series or an extended series, and take our shot.
Yeah, I guess the question is, are you okay with the starting rotation as it sits right now?
Yeah, it's between the rotation and the bullpen. You always want to make it better. I know we've made it better. I love Max Fried and Rodon and what they've done, and I'm excited what Luis Hill. In his potential and what he did last year for us, and then what Will Warren and Schlittler has done. I feel good about our rotation in combination with our bullpen and with the offense we provide and a much improved defense. So, looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. It's better on paper. That's the goal, but, we'll see.
We're talking to Brian Cashman, GM of the New York Yankees. Were you close on any of the starting pitchers that either did get moved, not many were, or the ones that didn't get moved? Were you close on any of those?
I didn't feel like I was close on any of that. So, we definitely had a lot of conversations, but I didn't feel like, we were a phone call away, or there was, a lot of back and forth and, this could be done if I do that. It was, I didn't feel like that market was a very clearly, by the way, the trade deadline played out. I think the industry has demonstrated it was a tough market for starting pitchers and what was or wasn't really available. And the premiums you were going to have to pay for it. I didn't feel like we got close to anything.
Did you listen at all on your free agents, like Goldie and Devin Williams and guys like that?
I would say we just went after it with a very open mind about anything and everything that could potentially, improve our team, potentially. So we were not closed-minded to any opportunities that people wanted to present and stuff, and that's whether it's, somebody offer Major League Club offer out of our system or us importing stuff. And, we just tried to stay nimble. But that's true every winter cycle, every summer cycle. That's not different. I think ultimately you have to be that way, you have to be nimble and you have to be flexible and you have to be open-minded so you make sure you're not missing out on any options, because you only have a chance to do this once and then it's pencils down and you got to take your shot with what you got.
I know years ago this was probably the case. I'm curious in 2025 if you still deal with this. Do you get a sense that there's a Yankee tax where teams won't trade you players unless you give them a premium? Do you believe that still exists?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think of it that way. I, I feel like it's more like draft. You're in the draft room, you know, and everybody's draft board is lined up differently. They see the available amateur talent in the domestic draft and rank certain ways in your room versus they have it different ways in other rooms. And same here, you know, you see players that come off the board, you know, what they're asking of you, and then they make a deal somewhere else and you don't get the player you're trying to get from them and they do a deal elsewhere. Your perception that in some cases was, wow, I know why they were asking for so much from us, you know, and we couldn't reach it. And they really got, you know, they got that level or more, and wow, good for them. Well, now I understand it. And then there's other experiences where somebody is asking what they want from you and you're refusing to do it, or I'm refusing to do that. And then they make a trade elsewhere. It makes no sense. It's like, whoa, that doesn't match.
Right.
But then you take the step back, and I use that draft, you know, thoughts, where it's like, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. They might see their prospect, different, you know, than we see the prospect that they're onboarding elsewhere different. And so it feels like, wow, they dialed up against us and took less there. It doesn't make sense, but it only has to make sense in their world. And everybody has different scouting and analytic rooms and different perceptions and different pressure points and different solutions and how to solution it. So anyway, I don't know if it's a Yankee tax. I just think everybody is a little different.
That's yeah. All. You know, Brian, Evan brought up the controllability of the relievers that you brought in. And knowing how, you know, the contracts are playing out for the guys that were already here, Luke Weaver's a free agent, Devin Williams will be a free agent. How much of the controllability factor went into deciding these guys that you went after?
Well, I mean, it's a benefit. You know, I can't tell you how much weight it went into going in or not to complete it. But I do know that, you know, you certainly daydream into 26 and know that we have free agents coming off. And if we have, you know, some of these guys in control going into next year, give you more flexibility and security, knowing that you have, you know, certain areas, you know, covered, you know, then, you know, more so than you had, you know, the day before. So that it's a benefit and, you know, it plays a part in maybe willingness to complete, willingness to push in a little bit more or lean in a little bit more with what you gave up. Because you control it versus, you know, and I definitely have conversations with other clubs where they're asking for whatever. And I'm like, I'm not doing that for a rental. There's no way I'm doing that for a rental. I'm not going to shoot that bullet for somebody I'm only going to have for 2 months. And if it's a reliever, you know, how many innings are you getting in those 2 months? You know, but if it's a control piece, it gives you a little bit more length, then you have a little bit more, maybe a comfort level of shooting some bullets to try to pull that down, you know. So I guess that's just a simple mindset on it. But again, the main intent and interest was, well, where is this team deficient? What areas try to attack the best you can and try to fill as much as you can in this marketplace on the time frame they got, and then live with it, whatever it is.
We are 2.5 years into the young man's career. Are you disappointed in where Anthony Volpe is right now as a major leaguer?
He struggled this year. I mean, more so than I would have expected. You know, he's a tough kid. He's talented. He's got ceiling. You know, but yeah. I mean, I acknowledge he's been struggling. You know, obviously, the especially the defensive stuff has been more of a surprise than anything else. But he's tough. He, you know, I've talked to him. I know he's battling through it. You know, he needs to be part of our, you know, solution. You know, if we want to get to where we want to go, not just him, there's a lot of different guys, you know, that have the hand on the wheel, a little bit of the shared wheel. And I'll throw myself in the middle of that as well, of how this last 6 weeks have gone. You know, a lot of guys have struggled, whether it's, you know, they've dipped offensively, dipped pitching wise, or obviously dipped on the defense or dipped on the offense. And so, yeah, I mean, it's been a struggle. So, but it's the ebbs and flows. Nothing's linear. No team typically is, no individual, you know, profile, unless you're Aaron Judge, which is, you know, superhuman. Everybody else, you know, is in that human category, and they obviously have ebbs and flows. But again, I still remember the Reggie Jackson, you know, quote that I have on my desk in the office, which, you know, about the, you know, if you still have the bat in your hand, you can change the storyline. So obviously he's got the opportunity to, you know, put all that behind him by obviously, you know,
stepping up to play and bringing great performances as we move forward. So we'll see what happens.
Not necessarily.
He's certainly capable.
Sure. Not necessarily now here in August, but had you given thought to sending him down to clear his head? Was that something you guys ever discussed?
No, because, what's the alternative?
No, that was always my argument on the air, Brian. That's why I wouldn't do it. I was just curious if you thought about it.
But now there is a little bit of an alternative, right?
No. If you thought about it, that means the only reason to think about it is if there was something there as an alternative. But it's never come into it. There has not been any opportunity for us to even consider that. And the expectation that he's going to be better than that, that he's going to, that this is just, people go into slumps, whether it's offense or defense, and that this is just a storm and the storm will pass. But past that, the argument about, if anybody's making is like, oh, you should send him down, give him a timeout. And okay, well, then who's playing shortstop?
No, I agree with that aspect because I didn't think like you were in great position to go play somebody else. It was more the idea of could that help him? And right. I don't know. I mean, it helps some guys. We saw it across town where a guy gets sent down and it helps him. It doesn't help everybody. I have no idea. I'm just curious if you thought it would. And right now it's weird because he's hitting. Like, there's no denying. He had a big home run the other day, but his defense continues to be a struggle. So what do you do about it? What should Aaron do about it? Is it just play him every day and he'll figure it out? Or is there alternatives to try to fix what has kind of derailed him a little bit this season?
No, I mean, I remember when Tino was struggling back in the day, Joe Torre would move him up in the lineup. You know, instead of burying him and sitting him and whatever, he would actually move him from wherever it was in the lineup to on the lineup. And, the point being in that particular individual case, and it was basically, I believe in you. So they lean in. The one thing I think that New York is different, this market and other markets is different. It is in the smaller markets, I think, the heavy hand of trying to whip a horse into shape or whatever, or get on them hard or whatever. That's happening here already between our fans, between the social media, between the talk shows, whatever. Our athletes in the tri-state area of New York, whether football, basketball, baseball, hockey, they know that they're struggling. They're living it. And I think in our market more a little bit, you need to help try to guide the athlete and support them where warranted to help them through the storm rather than, be the final WWE and here I'm going to come in with the big body slam to finish you off. So ultimately I think, there is maybe a lack of understanding or appreciation of how difficult to navigate it is. So if you're in Aaron Boone, and I know people like, why is he always supporting our guys? Well, you know what? He's doing that because he already knows the guys are taking the beatings in all the other environments. So he's there to try to protect them or not like add to it because it's a stressful environment and the more horrific.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Stuff that comes or stress, you might get worse. And so that's just a general commentary that this market can make it that much more difficult for players. So we are here to try to help them pass through it quicker by being there in a support factor. And if we have to make tough decisions to make changes, we do it.
Yeah.
It's always a feel thing. It's always a, at what time does that happen? And it's different for each individual circumstances. And then what are the alternatives?
Right. I hear what you're saying, and I think you're absolutely right about that. It's almost a rite of passage to get booed in New York because it gives you an opportunity to go find those cheers again. And it's great to be supportive, but it feels like as of late, there have been a lot of mental errors. And it's everybody. It's not just Anthony Volpe. We saw it with Austin Wells, forgetting there was one out a couple days ago. You see it with some of these Jazz couldn't flip the ball over to first base to Goldie the other day. It feels over and over and over. And what is the approach to correct those things, which should be simple and routine, but they keep popping their head, on the big stage. So how do you manage that, or how do you talk to it from an organizational standpoint? And what should Aaron Boone be doing?
Well, I think Aaron Boone and our coaches got their, the individual coaches that are responsible for each category, whether it's base running, whether it's catching, whether it's infield, outfield defense, pitching, and then the manager overseeing it all. Their job is to make sure their checklists of are taking place. So like Wells the other night, and he gets picked off, clearly not picked off, but basically picked off the base pass because he clearly doesn't know what the outs are. Mm-hmm. First base coach, part of his profile, did you say the number of outs, and is that happening? And making sure they're doing their jobs. And I do think that, just like you saw, a great run the Toronto Blue Jays franchise just went through. And hopefully it's slowing down on them, where they were winning basically every day. I don't know how many games they won, but it was just nonstop. You wind up building positivity, and you start to excel in all aspects. You're getting the timely hits. You're making every defensive play. You're taking all the extra bases, and you're making all the important pitches. When you need to, with two outs and runners on, and you're getting the important pitches, and then a couple, umpire calls go your way, and it's like there's that long stretch where everything's coming your way. It can go the other way too. You can go get into a negative funk that starts with an individual play, and then it starts building, and next your whole team is kind of inflicted with it, and you get that negative ball going on the other side of the mountain. And this is a really talented team with really talented, good, smart baseball players, but they're not immune to making mistakes, screwing up, and then as an entire unit. So yes, if you've watched us here in the last 6 weeks, it's left you scratching your head at time, wondering what the heck is going on. That some of this stuff doesn't happen even in the little league, but at the same time, it does happen. And if you have a chance to zero out and see the other ball, see other organizations and clubs, it does happen there too. But we have to tighten it up. We have to be better than that. No doubt about it. We have a team that's capable of a lot, but the only way we can, ring that bell with a team that's as talented as we are is that, hey, we're going up against talented teams too. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to give away outs.
No
we
doubt.
Can't afford to run into outs. We can't afford to, provide extra outs to the other team's offense. It's just not going to work that way. So, we got to clean it up. No doubt about it. Booney knows that. Our staff knows that. Our players know that, and me just saying it's not going to make it happen, but everybody just on each, baseball is just a game of everybody individually doing their job, and collectively it all adds up. If everybody just does their job and does it, clean and efficiently, it all adds up. We have a shot, high probability to win each day. But we've given some games away because we haven't played, clean, crisp baseball as much as we're capable of. And I don't have a specific answer why. It is frustrating to our fans, to our organization. But, let's hope we can change that narrative as we move forward here and create a whole new narrative, sure, because I know we're capable of that.
You have a good problem. You got a guy in the minor leagues who I'm sure you heard the name of 100 times when people were asking for him, like the Marlins, I'm sure, were asking for him, and Spencer Jones was tearing it up. He had the back spasms. He came back. He's still hitting. When do you call him up? When do you say, I know we got a lot of good guys in the majors, but this guy's so tearing up AAA, I got to find a way to give him an opportunity in the major leagues?
I don't know. It's not something that's on my radar right now. He's doing everything he needs to do. And, and I got guys doing, a great job in the big leagues. Obviously, I don't know. You know, he's certainly pushed himself into knocking on the door, and you know, obviously if there's a clear lane to get him opportunities, then that's where it'll happen. And if not, it's nice to know he's there, and it's nice to know he can finish off, and that, you know, sooner than later, you know, that next step and that next challenge is around the corner.
Now, he got a lot of comparisons, obviously, because of his size to Aaron Judge. Let's talk about the big man. We call him King Aaron Judge here because we voted him King of New York. But Aaron Judge, are you concerned about this injury that cropped up in his forearm? And he has been out, obviously, for the last couple of days. Seems like he's going to come back and be fine. But is there any concern, long-term concern here?
I don't think so. If we resolve it properly, I think we're in a good spot. Everything Aaron Boone has said publicly is the same right now as what I would say, which is, I think we were waiting for the diagnostic testing to come back. We didn't know what we were dealing with. The whole array of choices were there, and it was a flexor tendon strain. So obviously a PRP injection and give him an IL stint, which he didn't want to go on. He doesn't feel it swinging, and he felt like in DH right now, but the more proper and prudent way to go about it, because even though he doesn't feel it swinging, by gripping the bat, you activate the flexor muscle, and that's going to slow down the healing process. So let's play it safe so we don't play this into something worse. So that's how we handle it. We put him on the IL and sometimes shortly thereafter, whether it's immediately or a few days after, I don't know yet. Then we can activate him as a DH. But when we deploy him defensively, it'll be longer than the 10-day period or so. So that's whether that's in, maybe that's 3 to 4 weeks out from date of injury, we'll see. I got so busy on the deadline. If he had any setbacks or any concerns currently in the shorter period of time he's been on the IL, I would have gotten some feedback on that. But otherwise, I hadn't really, drilled into anything further on his status. I know he sat in on Mark Leiter's rehab, inning the other day, which was great, but getting some live views and so we'll go from there. But we're looking forward to getting him back, but he'll be a DH. So again, it's important to have him in the lineup, and it means Boone will have some different decisions to make on a daily basis than we would have had if he was fully deployable at the time in the short term.
Most Yankee fans are very happy with you. They're very happy with what you did at the trade deadline. But Yankee fans last week have signs at Yankee Stadium that say, fire Brian Cashman. Would you like to send a message to that guy? Basically, hey, screw you. Look at me now. Look what I did. You're welcome. Any message to the critics after you had what is widely considered a very good trade deadline?
I thought everybody liked me. I'm unaware. I don't follow any of that stuff. I don't read the stuff, so I know our fans just want one thing, which is the winning aspect. And if you're not winning, it's the other side of it, that's all we can do is try to do everything we can to win. And then, the rest of it plays out that way. So we got to the World Series last year and we got crushed, how we played in that World Series. So I just know the only thing that matters is winning. And so we got to find a way, and that's what we're continuing to try to do.
That's it. Well, Brian, we appreciate you coming on, giving us a few minutes. Get some rest. You get some rest now, all right, man? Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
There he is, the GM of the New York Yankees, Brian Cashman, working very hard over the last week and a half, adding how many guys? A lot of guys.
Right.
And now it's on the players. And now it's on the manager. On the team.
And he even said that. You got to play better.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.